Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I am David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Did the ancient Scots stop erecting monuments because of climate change? We have news about the English Heritage Protection Bill, which could be axed. An excavation in Turkey unearths ancient treasures, while in Romania, a Bronze Age village is discovered. Switzerland is to return stolen antiquities to Italy. And we have a 6,000-kilometre trip planned to reveal clues to an ancient migration in the Pacific. There's anger over plans to move an ancient Irish stone, and a 12,000-year-old grave may have belonged to a shaman in Israel. And in St. Louis, the last Indian mound is up for sale, and a bone tool is the oldest ever found in Indiana, USA. And finally, we have news on a Bronze Age house unearthed in West Sussex in England. Kilmartin Glen in Argyll has one of the most important concentrations of Neolithic and Bronze Age remains in Europe. The glen contains at least 350 ancient monuments, many of them prehistoric, including burial cairns, rock carvings and standing stones. But archaeologists have identified a period of almost 1,000 years in which no monuments were erected and the population there diminished. They claim this period marked the start of a colder, wetter climate. Dr. Alison Sheridan, an archaeologist and head of early prehistory at the National Museum of Scotland, who has studied Kilmartin Glen for more than 20 years, said that the earliest activity dated back to hunter-gatherers around 4,500 BCE, who left behind nothing more than a few pits, charcoal and some flint. But it was a sacred landscape from at least 3,700 BCE until 1,100 BCE. However, they're unsure about what exactly happened then, between 1100 and 200 BCE. A hoard of swords has been found and a few artifacts buried as gifts to the gods in the late Bronze Age, but there are very few structures and no settlements. Certainly in some parts, it seems to have become colder and wetter after about 1200 BCE, and the people may have moved away. The capacity or desire to build these monuments and indeed to honour them or take account of them seems to have died away. And by the Iron Age, nobody took much account of them, and nobody even tried to build similar monuments again. You have a feel of a different culture, which huddled in small fortified settlements, and everything is colder and more hostile. The population diminished, and those that were left seemed to fear everybody else. Sounds a bit like just now, actually. The English Heritage Protection Bill may not make it into the British government's parliamentary programme in 2009. Culture Minister Andy Burnham has hinted that the draft bill would be excluded from the Queen's speech in order to make room for new priority legislation to help beat the economic crisis. The draft bill, which has been scrutinised by Parliament this year, is the first piece of legislation in the field for 30 years and intended to unify heritage protection regimes. The bill was also aimed to provide greater public involvement in decisions and place heritage at the heart of the planning system. If the bill goes ahead as planned, it will create a heritage register, which will replace the listings, schedulings and registers and give the public a greater say in what gets protected. It would also devolve responsibility for the designating of land-based assets in England from the DCMS to English Heritage. Above ground, the Istanbul suburb of Yenikapi is a normal, modern-day bustling port on the Marmara Sea, but beneath the waters, its newly discovered treasures are rewriting the history books. So far, 32 wooden ships, Stone Age skeletons, coins, amphora and even a basket full of ancient cherries have been uncovered in the area that is thought to have been the first Byzantine port of the ancient city of Constantinople. In August, Dr. Karamut, the director of the Istanbul Archaeological Museum, and his team came across four ancient skeletons buried in graves 6 metres below sea level. The two adults, aged approximately 35, and two children, who were under 2, are thought to have lived during the Neolithic period around 6,000 to 6,500 BCE. The objects found with them, particularly ceramic pieces, have led them to conclude that there was an ancient settlement in Yenikapi, whose inhabitants lived on animal herding and farming. Researchers have also linked the finds to the remains of the ancient settlement of Çatalhöyük, a Neolithic site in southern Anatolia. The similarity between the sites suggests the settlers in the Anatolian plain migrated to Istanbul's shore some 8,000 years ago. If so, the findings reshape the image of Istanbul as a city begun by the Romans and suggest it is older by more than 2,800 years. More than 750 archaeologists continue to unearth, examine and catalogue, as well as conserve finds in a project that began in a 58,000 square metre area and has since expanded beyond even that vast size. When all completed, there's even plans to build an archaeological park over the site that will exhibit and interpret the finds. 750 archaeologists. Whew. A village established in the Bronze Age has recently been discovered near the town of Zalău in northwest Romania. It's the first time in Transylvania when a village dating back to the Bronze Age has been completely examined. The village consists of 8 houses built on the upper slope of a hill on 2 near parallel rows. Pits have also been found close to the houses, which were used for storage of supplies. As many as 124 archaeological sites have been found in the overall survey of the area, including houses, graves, pits and ovens, as well as 2 human skeletons dating back to several periods, starting with 1500 BCE right up to the 3rd and 4th century CE. Switzerland is returning 4,500 ancient artefacts stolen from archaeological sites in Italy, including ceramics, figurines and bronze daggers dating back as far as 2000 BCE. The transfer will require 3 tractor trailers and all but end a 7-year legal battle over the antiquities. They were seized in 2001 in storage rooms belonging to 2 Basel-based art dealers after a tip-off from Italy. The couple have since lost several court battles to prevent the antiquities from being returned to Italy. More than half the objects were from the eastern Italian region of Apulia, an area that was heavily influenced by ancient Greek culture and included richly decorated vases and craters that were used for mixing wine with water. The objects were stolen from upper-class tombs dating from the 5th to 3rd centuries BCE, with one item, a ceramic mask modelled on a woman's face, even retaining the original water-soluble painting from 300 BCE. Other items belonging to pre-Etruscan Villanova culture of northern Italy and some bronze figurines appear to have originated on the island of Sardinia. Swiss authorities are still trying to determine the exact origin of some 1,400 further antiquities also confiscated in 2001. Switzerland was until recently a major hub for the trade in stolen antiquities, but new laws introduced in 2005 have largely shut down this illegal market. The market, however, has now moved to Germany, which has far looser antiquities laws, and they should perhaps think about closing these loopholes in their legislation in an attempt to stop the global trade in these goods. My own comment is that there's often too much of this going on. We have to sort of draw a line somewhere, and you could say that what's now on the market may stay on the market, but unfortunately, this also increases the pressure to find new items. 2 Durham University scientists are to play a key part in a 6,000-kilometre trip following the migration route of ancient Pacific cultures. Drs. Keith Dobney and Gregor Larson, both from the Department of Archaeology, will be joining the voyage, which will be the first ever expedition to sail in 2 traditional Polynesian boats, which attempts to retrace the genuine migration route of the ancient Austronesians. The main aim of the voyage is to find out where the ancestors of the Polynesian culture originated. Work by Drs. Larson and Dobney, which probes the genetic makeup of domestic and commensal species linked with human migration, has gained international media attention. Recent findings have focused on the origins and dispersal of domestic chickens and pigs. The trip, called Lapita Voyage, which will be crewed by 2 Polynesians, 2 scientists, a cameraman and the initiators, James Warham and Hanneke Boom, both catamaran designers, and also Klaus Himfendahl, the author and organiser of the project. Well, let's hope it has more luck than some of the other ancient voyages we reported on. Bon voyage, lads! A community in County Galway in Ireland is outraged that 2,000-year-old ritual stone is to be moved and taken to a museum. Minister for the Environment, John Gormley, has been asked to intervene to prevent the Touro stone from being moved to Galway City Museum. The 3-foot-high oval granite monument was erected near a ring fort at Kiltullach over 2,000 years ago and was moved a short distance to Bullom, a few miles north of Loch Gray in mid-Galway about 150 years ago. Experts believe it needs protection from the weather, but the Touro Historical Society wants it to remain with a visitor centre built on the site. The society says this would boost the rural development of the area. The skeleton of a 12,000-year-old Natufian woman has been discovered in northern Israel by archaeologists of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. The burial is described as being accompanied by exceptional grave offerings and is thought to be one of the earliest known from the archaeological record and the only shaman grave in the whole region. If true, it could mean that shamanism arose during a critical period of human cultural evolution. Dr. Grossman of the Institute of Archaeology at the Hebrew University, who is heading the excavation at the site at Hillazon Tachtit in the Western Galilee, says that the elaborate interment rituals and the method used to construct and seal the grave suggest that this woman had a very high standing within the community. The grave contained body parts of several animals that rarely occur in the Natufian assemblages, including 50 tortoises, the near-complete pelvis of a leopard, the wingtip of a golden eagle, the tail of a cow, 2 marten skulls and the forearm of a wild boar, which was directly aligned with the woman's left humerus. A human foot belonging to an adult individual who was substantially larger than the interred woman was also found in the grave. Analysis of the bones show that the shaman was about 45 years old, petite, and had an unnatural asymmetrical appearance due to a spinal disability that would have affected her gait, causing her to limp or drag her foot. The Natufians existed in the Mediterranean region of the Levant around 15,000 to 11,500 years ago, and this grave would point to an ideological shift that took place during the transition to agriculture in the region. A St. Louis house in Missouri, USA is up for sale for $400,000. However, it's what lies beneath the home that excites lovers of St. Louis history, or in this case, prehistory. The house sits on Sugarloaf Mound, the city's last remaining link with the native people who lived in the area long before the arrival of the first Europeans. There were once dozens of these earthen structures in St. Louis, but all save Sugarloaf were cleared in the name of progress. That's why people interested in the ancient Mississippians tend to look eastward to Metro East and the Cahokia Mound State Historic Site. The last vestige of Mound City, the 19th century nickname for St. Louis, is now for sale. The mound, but not the house, was listed in 1984 on the National Register of Historic Places. That designation doesn't prohibit an owner from damaging or even destroying the mound, however. John Kelly, an archaeology professor from Washington University, said scientists and historians aren't sure what to make of Sugarloaf Mound, which has never been properly excavated, but he suspects that the mound is about 2,000 years old and dates to the Middle Woodland period, which lasted from around about 1,000 BCE to 1,000 CE. For more information, visit the website and blog at sugarloafmoundstl.com. I'm just amazed at actually placing a monument onto a national register. It doesn't mean anything, really. It just sounds like you can actually then destroy it if you want. To look into that a little bit more. A simple tool carved from a deer's leg bone that college students unearthed in 2003 is more than 10,000 years old, making it the oldest non-stone artifact ever found in Indiana, USA. University of Indianapolis researchers said radiocarbon dating shows that the 5-inch long tool, a device called an awl likely to use to punch holes in leather, is about 10,400 years old. Stone tools such as spear points found in Indiana in or near charcoal deposits from ancient campfires have been dated to between 10,000 to 12,000 years ago. But the bone tool excavated from an ancient glacial lake in northwest Indiana is a rare find because tools made from organic materials such as bones or wood typically decay over the thousands of years. Traces of a 3,000-year-old later Bronze Age roundhouse have been found on the site of the new Bognor Regis Community College in West Sussex, England. A large pit containing a large amount of prehistoric pottery was also uncovered on the site. Carbonised remains in the pit may include seeds, which will give archaeologists a fascinating idea about what prehistoric farmers were growing and eating. On the future primary school site, remains of a later landscape were also revealed. These comprise several unusual flat-bottomed ditches of Roman date that may have been field boundaries. Well, that's all for this week, and can I just thank everybody who is joining in and listening to this Archaeology News podcast. We are going from strength to strength, so if anyone isn't listening to this yet, could you just let them know that they can tune in every week and hear the best in the Archaeology News around the world. For more, you can also go to preservationtoday.com, where they are keeping us up to date as well. And of course, you've got Past Horizons, and you'll be glad to know that issue 5 of Past Horizons has just come out. So if you get yourself along to www.pasthorizons.com/magazine, you'll be able to read the latest from around the world. Can I also remind you that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can always be found on Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again next week. And remember, bring a friend.